Will you begin by briefly introducing yourself, including your role in the Condor and the Eagle film, as well as briefly describe your personal efforts in the fight for environmental and social justice?
My name is Brian Barras, and I live in Houston, Texas. Born and raised here, and grew up just a few miles from the Houston Ship Channel, which is a massive 20-mile stretch of refineries and chemical plants and storage tanks and pipelines and all sorts of other industrial type facilities that work alongside the petrochemical industry. And I started doing work focused on that industry right after graduating from college. And I started by organizing with my father in some of the same communities that I grew up in and communities that were adjacent to them, and have been, continuing that work in an area called environmental justice since then. And I have also been doing that by using media and theater and all forms of ways of communicating, with the body through digital formats and mediums, and of course, traditional media like we're doing right now with radio. And over the years, I've been fortunate too to be able to work in radio. So I volunteered at one of the Pacifica stations. We have KPFT here in Houston, and I worked on a program called Nuestra Palabra for about 15 years, and have learned a great deal from that world, right, of independent media. And all these things have kind of helped me build a voice that's unique, bringing together the experience of where I grew up and all the things that I've learned through Nuestra Palabra, by interviewing writers and poets and artists and actors and thinkers in our community. And then also just being around at a time when digital media was really beginning to blossom and become a part of our everyday lives. So that's, what I continue to do. I currently work with the Sierra Club, and I am an organizer with a program called Healthy Communities. And just this year, I've been helping roll out a film that I participated in called The Condor and the Eagle, which looks at 5 years of work by many individuals, but the film follows four specific protagonists, and I'm one of them. And, one of the major fights at the time was Keystone XL pipeline and the ongoing extraction of the tar sands in Alberta, and all of the impacts that that has along the route, all the way to where I'm at in Houston, along the Gulf Coast, where the refining and the export of the tar sands is taking place and was poised to take place. And because of, where I live in the heart of the fossil fuel world, right? Houston likes to name itself the energy capital of the world. For me, it became really important to understand, how this city has played a role in so many other landscapes and so many other communities. And so over the years in our work, we've had visitors from all over the globe, from India, from Africa, and from South America, other communities of color who have been impacted by companies like Chevron and Shell and Exxon. And that has built on, my understanding of the scope of this problem. And the film, The Condor and the Eagle, is an attempt at helping people connect with this prophecy that has been around for a long time, based on the eagle and the condor. And it is a reminder of the disruption that took place 500 years ago with the inception of colonization on this continent, and how that has led to an imbalance of energies and perspectives and all of the things that have led to this moment that we currently all live in. And the prophecy offers us an opportunity to remember that things are out of balance, but that they can be in balance, and that right now is a moment where that's possible. And it's very, it's always very strange, right? How this prophecy has been around for a long time. And, you know, if you didn't know about it, you could very easily say that we're in a moment of change. You know, there's something really special about this time. And if you just look all around the globe, the amount of people demanding justice and accountability and a better way of living, it just makes sense. And how our ancestors were able to see that, you know, from the depths of the Amazon rainforest is beyond my capacity. But there were people who were so connected to the earth forces that they were able to see that. And so that opportunity takes face, you know, in many different ways for each of us. But for myself and for the other three protagonists, Melina, Casey, and Judith, there was a focus around the fossil fuel industry and the destruction of our homelands and the health impacts that it's had on our communities, not just from the chemicals, but from the culture of violence that comes with fossil fuel extraction. So that's been, you know, a really powerful expression of this prophecy, but it by no means, you know, is meant to be the only voice or expression of that prophecy, and really is meant to just show the importance of us coming back together, right? So the prophecy says that when the eagle of the north and the condor of the south fly together again, that the indigenous people of the world will bring harmony back into the world. And so what we see in the film is myself and the three others I mentioned visit our relatives down south and share stories, bear witness, and make a commitment to work together in the future. And that's what we're doing now, and it's what we'll continue to do.
In this fight to bring harmony back into the world, or as you stated, to create at this time more balance with the earth, do you think that's something to do as a society where more connection to the earth means transformations to renewable energy? Or do you see that more as a personal change in our understanding of how we relate to the natural world, how we are a part of the natural world?
I think, you know, for folks who have not been afforded the luxury or even been allowed to think of these things or to live in different ways, it may be difficult to even understand like a response to that question, right? But I think on a pragmatic level, we can all see that the natural laws that govern our planet and our systems, right, the natural systems, like our climate, are not working. You know, we've effectively damaged the natural systems, and we're on the precipice of a sixth extinction. We're on the precipice of irreversible damage to our climate systems, and will lead to unpredictable weather patterns and ability to grow food in a way that will be able to maintain our populations. We're seeing things like pandemics break out because of the incursion on wild spaces and a lack of, you know, respect for those spaces. The racial injustices that have happened over the course of 500 years have led to abuses of power that have reached the limit for a large majority of the world. So we're seeing people fight back on that front. The financial and wealth disparities, right, that exist in the world with so few people owning and controlling so much of the world, you know, is also unsustainable. So all of these things are part of that imbalance, and no individual action is going to fix that. So the call really is for all of us to be conscious of the problems that stand before us, with the recognition that we have an opportunity. You know, there's still time to fix all of these things. And it's going to take great courage and trust and faith in each other. And, you know, this pandemic is just one situation that has hit the entire planet that is forcing us to really respond to these deeper questions, right? So just something as simple as wearing a mask to protect others, to protect yourself. Like, wow, we can't even do that. It's forcing us to reckon with how much work there is to be done. We're all damaged, hurt, and fearful, but there are very simple things that we can do to address these problems. And it just takes coordination, and it takes, you know, recognition, and it takes accountability of our past failures and course correction. But that's kind of where we're at. So what's required is individual action, but more importantly, collective action and the recognition that we are all connected. We're all connected.